WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, where hundreds of researchers make new discoveries inspired by the work of previous Dana-Farber scientists. Learn more about their momentum at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And it is true. Californians may soon be able to start harvesting marijuana, at least 25 square feet of it, if the state's Prop 19 referendum passes next week. If passed, it would allow people in California, 21 years old and older, to possess, cultivate, or transport marijuana for personal use. Now, here in New York, gubernatorial candidate Andrew Cuomo just said last weekend that the dangers of even medical marijuana outweigh the benefits. So Cuomo would oppose medical marijuana even in New York. He said, sure, legalizing it could raise revenues for the state, but so could prostitution. And he's against legalizing that, too. The Republican candidate for governor, Carl Paladino, interestingly, has said that he would let the people decide. His words, that's a quote, let the people decide if the state should legalize medical marijuana. Now, while legalization may not be on the ballots next week in this area, many all over the country are looking toward this vote in California as a possible precedent for the rest of the country. So today's topic in our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series is true or false, marijuana should be legal, regulated, and taxed. Two people have posted their thoughts, opposing thoughts, on our politics website. It's a freecountry.org. You can go read that Wonk Wars debate and add your own thoughts. And joining us on the air right now are Gabriel Saya, the New York State Director of the Drug Policy Alliance, which favors legalization, and David Evans, Special Advisor to the Drug Free America Foundation, which opposes it. So, Gabriel and David, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Good morning. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian.
And to get this going, here are some clips from both of California's gubernatorial candidates, Republican Meg Whitman and Democrat Jerry Brown. As it turns out, they're on the same side.
I am firmly opposed to Proposition 19, which is the legalization of marijuana. I think this is not the right thing for our young people. It's not the right thing for our community of citizens of California. But don't ask me. Ask law enforcement. Every single law enforcement official in this entire state is against Proposition 19.
Every year we get more marijuana. And every year we find more guys with AK-47s coming out of Mexico, going into the forest out there and growing more and more. And dangerous, losing control.
So Meg Whitman and Jerry Brown opposed. Gabriel Saya for. How are you beginning to make the case to Californians, or how are proponents in general beginning to make the case to Californians? Is there a top-line slogan?
Well, Brian, I think that what we're seeing in California is extraordinary. We don't get often to see debates like this, and what Prop 19 has done is to provoke a discussion about prohibition. And this is, I think, whether the initiative wins or loses at the ballot on Tuesday, it's already a winner in that we're having discussions that have heretofore been taboo. I think what the arguments, I mean, for one, the candidates' arguments that no officers are supporting this, that law enforcement is not supporting it, is just actually not true, because just this week, the Latino Officers Association came out endorsing Prop 19. And that it was a significant endorsement. And that just happened this week. You also have a series of former police chiefs in California, including Joseph McNamara from San Jose, who have also come out to endorse Prop 19, as well as a range of others have. So this is a debate that is ongoing. And the interesting piece about prohibition here is, to the extent that there are concerns about marijuana and there are concerns, you know, whether a person likes it, hates it, or doesn't care about it. The real question is, do we want to have this marijuana operate in a black market where there's simply no controls over it whatsoever, and which is where the criminal syndicates and gang organizations take over that control and thrive? Or do we want to bring it under the rule of law and have some ability to regulate and control access to marijuana? And that's what California voters will be able to decide on Tuesday.
We do have, by the way, one candidate for governor in New York State who would legalize marijuana overall. Those of you who watched the televised debate among all the candidates last week know this. She is Kristen Davis, running on a party line called the Anti-Prohibition Party. And here's 12 seconds of Kristen Davis.
I'm the only candidate on this stage with a plan to bring in new revenues into the state, which will create new jobs. The legalization of marijuana would bring in $1.5 billion in new tax revenue.
So, David Evans, why not?
Well, first of all, Mr. Sayed's central argument is that we would be able to bring marijuana and regulate it and control it. However, the Proposition 19 in California permits people to grow their own and to have 25 square feet, which can produce many, many thousands of joints. For example, an ounce of marijuana, according to the National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws, who are pro-marijuana, says that an ounce of marijuana can generate anywhere from 60 to 120 joints. So allowing people to grow it on 25 square feet, you can grow several plants and produce thousands of in your own garden. So I don't know how this is bringing it under control everybody can just grow their own.
Why would that be a problem if people are growing things on their own land for their own consumption?
Well, his argument was that we would then bring marijuana under control and we could tax it. And that is the subject of this debate today. And this proposition does the exact opposite. Allows people to grow their own. So you would not be able to regulate it or tax it. You wouldn't be able to derive any revenue from it at all. So it's a completely false argument. If you look at alcohol, for
example. Whoops, did we lose David?
No, I'm still here.
Okay, sorry, you dropped out for a minute there.
If you
go
look
ahead.
At alcohol, for example, I mean, the one speaker that was in favor of it said that if we legalized pot, we could get about $1 billion in revenue from it. Let's look at alcohol as the model, because this is what they frequently cite as the model for how we'd make money on this. Alcohol use in the United States estimated it to cost about our society about $185 billion in costs. If you look at the tax revenue that's brought in for alcohol tax on the federal level, it's about $14 billion, and on the state level, it's about $5 billion. So it's $14.5 billion that we take in compared to $185 billion that we pay out. Now, if marijuana is legalized, marijuana use is going to go up. People are going to be able to advertise that there was a government study in California that estimated that it would go up by about one-third. So that means that one-third of our costs are going to go up, and there is no way that any income that we get from this is going to pay for those costs if it is increased. Plus, you're not going to get any income from people growing their own in their home gardens. So this is an argument, you know, depending on the fashion of the times, they come up with arguments. We're concerned about economics right now, and so they're using an economic argument. The reason
let me go back and forth between the two of you, and let's stay on that one for the moment. Gabriel Saya, is this going to be a net revenue loser for California or for any state that undertakes it, as David is arguing?
Well, Brian, this is a fascinating element here, because the single biggest expenditure that we have right now with respect to marijuana is actually in enforcement. We're spending billions of dollars arresting people for marijuana. Think about this. 850,000 people were arrested last year in the United States for marijuana. And right here in New York City, where we've had a slew of budget cuts, we've lost the V line, we've lost bus lines, we're losing senior centers. We are spending $60 to $90 million a year to arrest people for low-level marijuana possession offenses. Now, keep in mind, in New York, marijuana was decriminalized in 1977. And last year, 46,500 people were arrested here in the city. And that cost almost between $60 and $90 million. And if you consider what the alternatives are, we could have spent $35 million funding youth summer job programs for young people ages 14 to 24. But we didn't do that. Instead, we're arresting young people, and the vast majority of them are young black and brown kids from the city here.
Nicholas Kristof has a column on that in the Times today, coincidentally, which talks about the studies that seem to show marijuana is a little bit more prevalent among white people, but black people get arrested and Latino people get arrested more frequently for it, and that's largely because of the stop and frisk, so they get found with it more often when they don't have it, you know, out in public. But how could you square that? If New York decriminalized marijuana in 1977, how is it that people are getting arrested for it in large numbers for small possession?
Yeah, no, I mean that is the question. We posed this to NYPD and to the public advocate here and the mayor repeatedly because it's a problem. What was decriminalized was possession of 25 grams or less on your person. So if it's in your pocket or in a bag, and this is for adults, then it's not a criminal offense. It's called a civil offense. You can give a $100 fine. If the marijuana is in public view, or it's so somebody is smoking it, or it's just in public view, that's a misdemeanor. What we're seeing with stop and frisk is that the police, when they come, particularly with young people who are less aware of what their constitutional rights are, and even when they are aware, they're afraid to assert them because of the police oftentimes, the police will say, turn out your pockets. And once the young person turns out their pocket, if they have a little bit of marijuana, now it's in public view.
Yeah, and that's view. What All right, let me go back to David Evans. David, what's your real concern here? I know you were answering the revenue question before, and that's why you started with that. But what's your real concern? Is
well,
it public
my,
health?
My real concern, and first of all, I dispute what he said about the costs in New York. I mean, he gave a previous article a couple of months ago where he said it was $100 million. That comes out to about $2,000 an arrest. I've been a criminal defense attorney since 1974. I've been involved in hundreds of situations like this. It doesn't cost $2,000. In New York, for example, if you are a young person arrested for a small amount of marijuana, you get what's called a marijuana adjournment and contemplation of dismissal. You get a summons. You come into court. They tell you stay out of trouble for a year, and at the end of the year, the charge is dismissed. So this
That's
is another bogus argument.
That's not true.
I want to stay on. Hang on.
Wait a minute. I didn't interrupt you.
Yeah. Once you're in a jail cell,
I did not interrupt you.
Hey, guys.
I did not interrupt you.
Gabriel, stay out for the moment.
I interrupted you, and I let you speak.
And we only have a limited time. I want to stay on California as much as we can. So, David, go ahead.
My main concern is that people's perception of marijuana is about 30 years old. We have a lot of new data now that marijuana is addictive. It's the number one drug that kids are in drug treatment for in the United States. It's addictive. There are severe health problems connected with it that people just aren't aware of. If they'd research it, they'd find out. Also, it is a lot more potent today than it was 20 or 30 years ago. So it's a more addictive substance. We have a legion of studies now showing all the negative health effects of smoking marijuana. Bilious lung disease, for example, you get it 20 years earlier if you smoke pot than if you smoke tobacco. Several good studies now about birth defects. So anything that promotes and expands the use of marijuana is going to add more social costs to our society.
Now, on the question of whether people are going to use it more, the Christoph column today says Portugal abolished all criminal penalties for possession of the drug in 2001, and it is low there, the use. The Cato Institute released stats that he cites that say Portugal has the lowest rate of lifetime marijuana use in people over 15 in the EU.
What people don't tell you about what happened in Portugal is at the same time that they decriminalized small amounts, they set up a massive treatment program for the country to get people into treatment with the idea being of getting the use down. So that's what's always left out of that argument. Those are the facts. And I talked to a guy from Portugal just a few weeks ago who is part of their anti-drug effort. And by the way, he says it's not working out the way that the government there says it is. But they did do a big education program and a big treatment program. The Netherlands, the same thing. They've now started, fighting against marijuana because they've had so many problems with it. The same thing with England. England decriminalized it, and about a year or two ago, they recriminalized it again because they had so many law enforcement, mental health, and health problems with it.
Brian, New York as well as other states decriminalized marijuana in the 70s. So, I mean, we've had decriminalization of marijuana in New York for over 30 years, and we did not experience an uptick in use that can be tied to that. We did not experience the things that Mr. Evans is saying. But let's assume for a moment that Mr. Evans is right. When he's actually not. If you do the research, many of the things that he's saying about the harms of marijuana are actually not true. But let's assume for the purpose of this that he is correct. And let's assume that the science has been interpreted incorrectly, and that, in fact, marijuana if that's the case, then that should be even a stronger argument for ending prohibition to marijuana. Because so long as it is prohibited, we'd have absolutely no ability to control and regulate it. And for anybody that's watching the new HBO program, Boardwalk Empire, it starts out on the eve of alcohol prohibition in 1920. And it's an excellent story about the cost of prohibition, not just the financial cost, but the human cost. And so as we see Al Capone in that show begin to develop, I mean, before he became Al Capone that we know, he was Al Capone, just another street gang guy. But he became this giant figure, controlling vast amounts of the criminal enterprises. And he became somebody that's stapled into our imagination. That is a result of prohibition. So if indeed marijuana is as dangerous as Mr. Evans says that it is, then that's all the more reason for us to regulate it and control it, and then to generate some tax revenue from it.
We're going to run out of time in about 2 minutes. I guess we're hearing from this that the two sides not only disagree on the opinion, but they disagree on the facts, because our guests are disputing the revenue implications, the law enforcement implications, and the public health implications. I want to play a clip of New Jersey legislator Reed Gashora from the New Jersey State Legislature. He sponsored the medical marijuana law that passed in New Jersey. And I asked him when he was on the show, do you think if California passes this, we're going to have legal recreational marijuana in New Jersey?
Follow whether environmental laws or other kind of laws, we often follow California. If California opens that door, probably there will be more states that will do that.
And he went on to say he would consider introducing such a law in New Jersey if it passes in California, since he introduced the medical marijuana bill, but that would be down the road, if at all. So just give me each of your takes before you go on the politics of this. I'm looking at the polls over a period of the last 3 months, and Gabriel, since you're for this, it looks like the trend was for you and is now going against you. In the Public Policy Institute of California poll on September 26th, it had a 9-point lead, Prop 19, but by October 17th, that same poll found it would lose by 5 points. So what's happening to Prop 19?
Well, I think what's happening to Prop 19 is what's happening with the entire election across the country.
And we've got 30 seconds for each of you here, so go right to your point.
The electorate is nobody really knows what's going to happen. But either way, win or lose on that initiative, there's going to be a series of continuing debates across the country about the failure of marijuana prohibition and the need for us to have an exit strategy to the war on drugs and end this failed policy.
David Evans, what's happening?
Well, what's happening out in California is people are learning the truth about it, and you know, the main issue here is kids, and we want to protect kids. And if this gets through, there'll be more kids smoking pot, more mental damage to kids, more school productivity problems, more industrial accidents, more drug driving, more health care costs, all of which we can prevent by keeping the current law in place.
All right. It'll be interesting to see what happens in California on election night. Will it become the first state in America to legalize marijuana for recreational use? Gabriel Saya, New York State Director of the Drug Policy Alliance. David Evans, Special Advisor to the Drug Free America Foundation. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.